Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Dance Off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada. I am Dan Collins.
Hi, Dan Collins.
I know you practically didn't know my name.
Well, you haven't been here for a few weeks. I haven't seen you in, close to 6 weeks, probably. It's great to see your bearded face.
Yes, and it's...
Your beard has grown in so well over the last 6 weeks. You look like a Viking.
Thank you. I'm trying for that Viking look.
Is it the Viking look? It's not the lumberjack look. It's the Viking look. Or do you want to be like a Viking lumberjack? I'm sure that the Vikings had to have lumberjacks.
With Viking lumberjack.
That'd be a great comic book series.
I'll write it right now.
Okay. Well, you are already putting together a little comic strip based on your beard as it is. I mean,
that's true.
You can move on to Viking lumberjacks.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I need some more plot, but I'm sure we can come up with that.
I'm sure there's lots of potential.
You know, I think with my hair color, it goes more with the Viking, because I could be like...
And you know what? Doing the lumberjack thing right these days is so cliched anyways. Like, you don't want to do that hipster lumberjack thing. It's pretty... Well, you know what? There might be a lot of hipster lumberjacks listening out there, and I'm really sorry. That's just how I feel.
Okay.
There's lots of... Yeah. Hi, Dan.
Hi. I guess it's just you and me today.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, we knew Marty wasn't going to be here because he let us know in advance. But Chris Gilpin, who I'll tell you is one of the most surefire, dependable people you've ever known, and a good guy. I mean, just one of those good, solid guys, upstanding, has high morals, very loyal. We don't know where he is, or we didn't know where he was until a few moments ago. When we found out he was in Kitchener.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that he, didn't tell us that he was going to be here.
No, you know what? I don't remember him once saying he was going to be here this week. I think we just assumed.
Because he didn't say he wasn't going to be here.
No, he didn't say he wasn't going to be here, but he didn't say he was going to be here either.
So, no news, we assume you're here.
I guess we did. So... I'm not really sure if it's a matter of we should give Chris a hassle for not telling us, or if we should be the ones to bear this blame because we just assumed he would be here when he never at any point said he would be.
People taking responsibility for their own actions, that's not how the world works.
But Chris is an extremely responsible person, and you know, that's just the way Chris is. I'd like to give Chris the benefit of the doubt on this one, but you know what? Let's just talk about comic books.
And then we'll talk about Chris if we run out of comic book talk.
I've already talked about Chris. He's a good guy. He's loyal. He's one of the most loyal people I know. He has high standards and high morals. Like, that's the things to say about Chris.
I mean, I should have seen it coming when I saw that he posted a picture of the Kitchener warehouse yesterday or this morning.
Okay, yeah, that could have been it.
But sometimes like a subtle clue, like a picture of him standing hundreds of miles away just a few minutes before we're supposed to go on air, just doesn't cut it.
I'm just glad we know where Chris is and we know he's safe and that he's like not dead somewhere, because that'd really be a bad way to start this show.
That would be the worst way to start this show.
That's right. So
that'd
I'm
be
just
even worse than talking about Captain America.
Ooh, should we go right into Captain America?
Well, Chris was supposed to bring the news and stuff, so I guess we can just do whatever we want.
All right.
We're freestyling.
All right, so the world knows, even the guys in Trent Radio Lobby who don't even read comic books know, that major crap is going down with Captain America. The world, the internet exploded with Captain America memes ever since Wednesday. Dan, do you want to explain the situation?
I haven't read the issue, so I
have read the issue, but I want you to explain it from your end because, as someone who hasn't read the issue, but so, what's going on the internet by what you've based it on?
What's going on that? And I mean, this is kind of spoiler-ish because it's only been 2 days, but
oh my god, everybody knows, man.
I figure that yes, everybody knows, and especially if you're listening to the radio show or on the Facebook page, you probably have a good idea of what's happened because it's impossible. This is worse than a Game of Thrones spoiler. It's impossible to escape the Hail Hydra. Captain America, I guess, was brainwashed as a child to become an agent of Hydra, and he did some bad stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. I read the issue.
That's a fair
yeah.
Summarization.
More or less. Yeah. I read the issue last night and it was mainly like I had no interest in I've never had a strong interest in Captain America. He's never been one of my favorite characters. And even when I knew there was a new Captain America number one coming out, I had no plans on reading it. I really didn't care. It was because of the big the hubbub over the on the internet. I was like, okay, I better read this, see what this is all about. And I read it. And when I got to here's the truth is the book, it's well written. It's well drawn. I loved the story. I loved everything that was going on. I thought, you know what? This is pretty good. And then when I get to the final two pages and I was like, oh, okay. So this is a thing. Right. And Hail Hydra, right? Now, here's the thing. And this is what it comes right down to, in my opinion. All right. Listen to me. Captain America, especially with Civil War being out right now in movie theaters and everybody really liking it and making lots and lots of money, Captain America is a huge character and an important money-making character for Marvel, okay?
Yeah.
It is an iconic character. They're not going to screw with it. Look, folks, everybody who's just losing their crap over this Captain America thing, it's a twist ending. There's a catch. There's a catch 22. All right, something's going on. Captain America is not a Nazi. He's not a Hydra agent. God knows what's going on. There is going to be some kind of explanation. And let me tell you, Dan, you said it right. I was about to steal your point. What you said, I was about to steal your point. You say what you think. Once the twist is told,
because there's definitely a twist, and the thing is that when that twist happens in 4, 5, 6 more issues, everybody's just going to be like, "That wasn't even worth it."
Exactly,
like worth getting mad about, or worth even probably continuing
buying the 6 issues.
Yeah,
yeah,
because you know there's a twist coming.
Yeah, you know Captain America is going to be about the red, white, and blue at the end of the day, and he's going to fight Hydra, and he's going to be really angry about what happened to him.
Now I like Captain America.
Okay. You like him a lot.
I don't follow him like fanatically, but like I've read the Ed Brubaker run from when they had Bucky become Captain America and stuff, which is a pretty huge run. And in fact, like I'll admit on the radio, I haven't watched the second Captain America movie yet.
I haven't watched the second Captain America movie yet.
Have you owned it for 3 years?
No.
Because I have.
No, I haven't.
I really need to watch it.
I've downloaded it a few times, but I've never actually watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, that Ed Brubaker run was a really great run, and I enjoyed that. But I'm just, like, I just never really committed fully to like the character to be like, I'm going to put this on a pull list. I'm going to read it. But I like that he's like, you know, Mr. Straight and Narrow. He's black and white. Captain America doesn't like, he's not like Deadpool or Wolverine or Shades of Grey, you know, he's, and I think that's kind of like why I like Captain Canuck too, because he's the
same sort of
stand up, do the right thing character.
You know what made me laugh is I have a cousin and he's a pretty good guy. Okay. Like I'm not going to say anything bad about him. I actually really like him, but he's an American cousin of mine and he's a massive Republican. I don't know if he's a Trump supporter, but I assume he probably is. Most of my American family, unfortunately, are Trump supporters. They're my people. I'm sorry. But he's just one of these guys. We never agree politically because he's extremely... I mean, this is a guy who believed in George W. Bush, all right? He has a Captain America tattoo. I am sure he's just losing his junk right about now over over this. And I feel so bad for him. He's a good guy. He really is. But I was like, wow, what a horrible thing. What was very interesting, talking about Donald Trump, what was very interesting about this issue, too, is it was extremely political. And they really did seem to be actually echoing what's going on in the American election today in this issue, with the Red Skull being a Donald Trump figure and appealing not to the masses, but to neo-Nazi factions, but using a lot of Trump slogans and rhetoric. And they were really making it, you know what I mean? Like this, they were making very strong parallels between the Red Skull and the neo-Nazis and the Trump campaign, which was really, really interesting. As I said, the issue itself is extremely well written.
Yeah.
And even the new mythos that they're doing, like they're looking at Steve Rogers' childhood in 1916, some of those scenes were so well written and so compelling. So,
do we know who wrote that issue?
Not a clue. I have no idea. And I'm not Mr. You know, I'm not like the guys that sit there playing with their phones trying to figure things out. It breaks my concentration, and I got really stubby man fingers that can't, you know, go through the mechanism that quick. But yeah, you know what? The writing was spot on. I'm going to read the next 6-8 issues. You know, who knows? Like, as I said, the writing's really good.
Yeah.
So it could be a cool story. I don't know. Probably not. But yeah, I'm in for a while.
Probably
anyway.
Not.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know if you read, because there's been some, obviously there's been a lot of fan backlash against the idea. And Marvel has had a few people come out and say, like, I don't know why you're getting mad. It's a comic book story, A, and B, why don't you wait until it's done before you start jumping down our throats? And including the author, the writer who's doing this this story.
Yeah.
And I completely lost my train of thought. So,
well, you were saying that there was some backlash and Marvel saying, hey, everybody, why are you getting so upset?
Yeah,
and,
that's whatever yeah, I was going to well, say. It's so gone. It's not.
As I'm saying, as I said, I did read the issue and I thought it was well written. As I said, though, the last two pages, it was just like yeah, I definitely had a WTF moment. And I'm thinking, yeah, what? Where are we going with this? But that's the point. We are going to
I remember, actually.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Well, yes.
Because they were saying, like, you know, there's been lots of times in the comic books where they do something really off the wall with a character, like the Superior Spider-Man.
Great example. And that was a good series.
Except the difference, if you're using that as an example, is that that is somebody else's mind in Peter Parker's body. Right, because that's what happened. Dr. Octopus was in his mind. It wasn't him being brainwashed and killing somebody and becoming a bad guy, you know? And, like, I mean, people could point to other examples of drastic character changes, but those are rarely well-received.
Rarely.
And especially probably not if you just 6 issues later retcon the whole thing, you know?
It'll be interesting to see what goes on. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Yeah, I'm gonna keep with it for a little while anyway.
Should we segue when, and I'll go. Speaking of retconning,
oh, let's do it, my friend.
We got 45 minutes for DC Rebirth.
Oh my God, Rebirth. First of all, I want to ask you this, and I think we have the answer, but I think it's crazy that Rebirth is the hottest comic book in the world today. It is the biggest comic book story in the world today. At least in the world this week.
Yeah.
Although, you know, Captain America did steal a little bit of its thunder.
Did they do that on purpose?
Oh, of course they did that on purpose.
Of course
they did that on purpose. But there was not a place in Peterborough to get DC Rebirth. Which
is true.
I really think is an interesting... just interesting about a view of like what's going on with comic books today in this city.
Yeah.
Is the fact that you could not get DC Rebirth in Peterborough. Like I know by the message boards, there were people looking for it.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because hands down, I personally, I'm a big DC kid. DC Comics has always been my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It's no secret that I hated the New 52. I've been very vocal about that. DC Rebirth is the best comic book that DC Comics has put out since the New 52, in my opinion. And I think a lot of people feel that way. It is
like a warm hug from DC.
Yeah.
Like that whole comic is just like from beginning to end, it's just like DC giving you a pat on the back and saying, it's okay, we're going to fix it.
It's almost like they're admitting they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when someone hurts you really bad and you've been in this horrible, terrible situation and they come and they get, and all of a sudden the person that hurt you goes through a ton of therapy and comes back and says, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry.
Yeah.
It's like a giant apology from years of abuse by DC Comics.
Specifically about 5 years of 52 issues of abuse.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, and it's really funny. Like, in a way, they're trying to say that, oh, we were planning this all along. But I don't think
that's really the case.
They weren't. They screwed up. And now they're giving us everything back. Thank you. Thank you, DC. There's so many great moments. And I mean, it's hard because I feel like we shouldn't do spoilers. Although I'm not a big spoiler. I don't care about spoilers. Like, yeah. For instance, Walking Dead, Negan kills Glenn. We all know that. Ooh.
But you don't know that's what's going to happen in the show.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, the show's like asinine.
But you've already spoiled some stuff in the show.
Yeah, but I just did that to show you how much I don't care about spoilers.
Yeah, but I knew that. That was actually, Walking Dead 100 was the first issue I read of Walking
Dead. Oh, was it? Yeah.
And that was a pretty gruesome introduction to the...
Yeah, I remember just being horrified. Because Glenn was always my favorite character. And it was like, really?
And it is extremely gruesome.
Oh, yeah.
And the, like, yeah.
And you know the horrible thing? It's the worst death in Walking Dead. And it was done by not a zombie.
Yeah.
Which just makes it even worse. Yeah. So anyways, now that I've proved to you how much I don't care about spoilers, hold the door. Let's get back to Rebirth. So Dan, what was your favorite aspect? You know what, though? Anyone who goes to like Newsarama has already had Rebirth completely spoiled for them anyway. So.
Anybody who is in any Facebook group with comic books related has already had somebody post giant spoilers and some admin tell them that they're kicked out of the group for not...
Did that happen to anyone you know?
Not to anybody I know.
Oh, okay.
I've seen posts and posts reminding people that they're not supposed to post spoilers 10 minutes after the comic goes on sale.
Okay. Well, anyways, let's just talk about...
There's no rules for us.
No. So let's just talk about Rebirth. If Chris was here, he would totally be like his brain would be exploding because we're about to wreck Rebirth.
But so. It's been out for 4 days. 3 days.
Yeah, two, so I okay, think it's 2 days.
It's been
what was your favorite
days.
Part of Rebirth? Let's talk about the beautiful parts of Rebirth.
You know, I only had time to read it through once.
Me now too. Once.
I actually had to read it almost in chapters because I had some other stuff going on. And as soon as I got a minute, I ran back read a few more.
Mm-hmm.
I just really like the overall feel of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like the story following Wally West, you know,
I mean, yeah, brilliant.
That was,
and
great.
I know if Marty was here, that would be the one thing that meant the most to him. Wally West is one of Marty's favorite characters.
Yeah,
and his, you know, Marty likes to argue or likes to do the devil's advocate thing for anything. Yeah. Like he would, if I said I hate New 52, he would try to tell you why the New 52 is great, even if he wasn't feeling it in his heart. But that's what he would do. But I know the one thing that he upset him the most about the New 52 was the way that Wally was. Basically thrown away because Wally West is one of Marty's favorite characters. And for me personally, a world without a Wally West didn't bother me as much, but once I realized he was there and once I saw him and once I heard his narrative, I realized how much I missed this character.
Yeah.
You know, and how beloved he is and how, like, he really was sort of the first Silver Age sidekick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait. Maybe Aqualad was.
And like, you know, if you say that, because the Flash, for some reason, the Flash is so pivotal to DC Comics.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Right? And not having a Wally West that you recognize for 5 years is like, you know, Barry Allen being gone for 25 years.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, for certain.
Even though Marty might hate how Barry Allen's written currently.
Meh. He's not here to defend himself, but oh my God.
Only via text.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to get a text a few minutes from now just being bawled out on that one. For me, I'm a huge Justice Society fan, and I'm a huge fan of the Golden Age altogether.
Yeah.
And taking the Golden Age away from the New 52, as far as I was concerned, was the biggest, cruelest, awful thing, taking away that sense of history.
Yeah.
And the sense of history with DC. DC has the greatest history in the history of comics.
For sure.
So to take that away, to me, was... I can't even use the words on air to describe...
bleep, bleep, bleep.
How much how hurtful that was to me. Hurtful, that's the word. So to see Wally assure, you know, find Johnny Thunder and assure to him and say
Johnny
to him...
Thunder.
Say to him, the Justice Society was just forgotten. It's out there. Find them. It was like, oh my God, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, and like that whole Earth 2 Society crap, I think we talked about it last week on the show, actually. I mean, it was just a joke. It was horrible. It was such a terrible, heartbroken thing, you know?
Yeah.
So to not have to worry about that and know that our friends from this golden age will be back soon.
Yeah, is like, because I mean, it all comes back. The entire thing comes back to the Golden Age, to those heroes, the JSA, right? So to have 5 years of where it's basically a mockery of what they are supposed to be.
Yeah,
you know, because I didn't read the Earth 2 stuff at all.
And I gave it a go, and only because James Robinson was writing it, and James Robinson, in my opinion, is one of the greatest writers at DC. And he has such a love for the Golden Age. He was the guy who brought the Justice Society back into prominence in, you know, the last century. He was the one who wrote Starman, which was so big on, you know, goes all the way back to the Golden Age and for its inspiration.
And I just picked up a big run of that. I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
He wrote
Burton.
One of the greatest DC books ever written in the history of DC was a series by James Robinson called The Golden Age.
Yeah.
And it was a four-part series that he had actually written that he wanted to actually use to bridge the Golden Age and the Silver Age together. And somewhere DC told him after reading the story was like, you know what? It's a great story. We'll publish it, but you can't use it. We have to say it's out of
continuity.
Continuity.
Stuff, yeah.
Which is too bad because it's really one of the best. And it was using some of the more second tier Golden Age characters, Liberty Bell, Johnny Quick, Robot Man, TNT, Dan the Dynamite, you know what I mean? Like all these kind of second string characters. And it was just the Tarantula was in it. And it was an amazing series. And so knowing James Robinson's love and expert, the way that he takes these Golden Age characters and he loves them and he can do so much with them. When he created the Earth 2 stuff, I thought, okay, you know, I'm going to give it a chance. It might work because it's James Robinson, but you'll notice James Robinson was off it pretty quick and then just left DC.
Yeah.
And I think it was because his heart wasn't into it. It was like it was almost shattered because he couldn't use those characters he wanted to. That's just a guess. I can't say that was the case.
Actually, I picked up that Golden Age story in a huge lot I bought of last year, and I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but recommended it because I just started to get into Starman.
You're going to love it. Let me tell you a quick story. I remember I was in high school. I think I was in grade 13 when the Golden Age came out, and I remember being in English class, and you know that horrible cliche of where you're, you know, you have your a book out that you're supposed to be reading, and you have the comic in the middle of it?
Yeah.
I was doing that with... I think issue 3 of the Golden Age.
Yeah.
And I got to the big cliffhanger, like the big reveal, and all of a sudden I let out this huge gasp. And my English teacher totally busted me.
That's hilarious.
Because I couldn't even, I don't want to say what the reveal is, even though the book's probably over 20 years old. I just don't want to wreck it for you.
Because I will read it soon.
Yeah, and you'll love it. You'll love it. Get Wikipedia ready, though, for the bio on some of these characters.
Yeah.
Some it's of the characters are pretty obscure, but you kind of need to know who they are.
And, you know, that's another cool thing that I like when authors do that, when writers do that, you know, like when they don't just use the mainstream, they don't just use the guys that they make you learn new characters and then you actually fall in love with characters you've never heard of before.
Yeah, you're gonna really need to do that with the Golden Age, but you'll love it. You'll love it. So, anyways, we've gotten off track a little bit, but the fact that we
still have 35 minutes. Oh, okay. So there's no off track.
All right, whatever. But yeah, so I think that's a great thing. The fact that they are bringing the JSA back. Of course, they show that they're bringing back the Legion of Superheroes, which meant a lot to me.
Yeah. Yeah, because they show which character was it that they showed?
They don't know who it is. The fan, they never show her face, but they show it's a woman and she has blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a flight ring. And the two fan theories is that it's either Dream Girl or it's going to be Saturn Girl.
Yeah.
I remember, though, that they... I can't remember how it went, but I think Geoff Johns wrote a series or something back before the New 52 where the Legionnaires were... Starman was and Dream Girl were in the current... century time. I can't remember how that all went. I wasn't really a Legion fan at the time, so who knows what's going to happen. But that was cool. Now I think the one title I'm the most excited about for the New 52 is the new Green Arrow book.
Yeah.
And
now what about the Green Arrow pages in this comic?
Oh,
right.
I loved it. I loved it. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not a fan of the Black Canary Green Arrow relationship.
Yeah, you've said that before.
As a massive Black Canary fan, I always feel that whenever they put those two together, that all of a sudden Black Canary just becomes Green Arrow sidekick.
Yeah.
And I've loved that in the last number of years, like the character has really, especially when Gail Simone kind of took her in Birds of Prey, Black Canary has really taken on her own character. I remember when they married them off briefly, again, it just became this weird, crappy... you know, Green Arrow and Black Canary, you know, being his Jiminy Cricket or whatever. And then they also, in the DC universe, I think Black Canary and Green Arrow are definitely probably the most sexual characters. Like a lot of their relationship is just based on pure sexuality. But they can't ever seem to get it all together. Like they're they're such a dysfunctional couple.
Yeah.
But they can't get away from each other. It's so weird, you know. Like they love each other, but Green Arrow just keeps screwing up. Like that's really the bottom line. And the Black Canary won't take his crap. And but to see that moment where all of a sudden it was like they knew that they had lost something. Yeah. It was like cool, you know. Yeah, and I'm really looking forward. Even though the Canary will be in other books, I'm looking forward to go down that path with them again. Even though, again, I've never been a fan of the relationship, but because it's been gone for so long, I've missed it.
Well, and maybe it seems right this time.
Well, I don't know if I want them to get it right this time. I want them just to be as crappy as ever. I just want it.
Yeah.
And just to see the Green Arrow with his facial hair again is just good enough. But I've learned that he will be losing his fortune, which... Yeah. Is great. That's what happened to him in 1968 when Neil Adams and Denny O'Neill redid him in Brave and the Bold. And that's when he lost his fortune and suddenly became an interesting character. And I heard that's exactly what they're going to do again. Thank God. There's certain things Green Arrow needs to do. Number one, he needs facial hair.
Yeah.
Number two, he needs to be fighting the good fight amongst the poor people. And number three, he needs to make really good chili. You know, in the New 52, he didn't make chili. He made like, I don't know, like it was like he was doing like broccoli and cheese casserole or something like that. You know, it just, yeah. Yeah.
No broccoli and cheese casserole anymore.
Yeah, I guess not. So.
And that was actually a big part of the Rebirth story was the loss of love.
Mm-hmm.
They even reference it within the story that like that this love has been destroyed between all these characters.
Yep.
So, and I enjoyed that too.
I did too.
Aquaman and Mira was another great example there.
But how about this? And this is really an interesting thing. And I did read this online is the scene with the Adams with Ryan and Ray Palmer.
Yeah.
It almost looked like it's erased identity crisis.
Yeah.
Like, are you familiar with Identity Crisis?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Definitely know about that one.
Okay, so Jean Loring murdered Sue Dibney.
Yes.
And did a whole bunch of horrible things, and then she eventually became a Calypso, and then she was killed. And now it looks like Ray Palmer is saying, like, you know, sends a message out for Jean.
A throwaway line at the end there.
Yeah.
That part, but yeah.
But Identity Crisis and everything that came out of that is so universally despised by fans. Although I actually enjoyed Identity Crisis at the time.
Yeah.
But that's when they started making DC, like, unnecessarily angsty. You know, by, you know, putting together some extremely dark subjects into the comic, like, that might not have had need to have been there.
Yeah, that has to be one of the most, like, if you want to talk about a real shock, forget about Steve Rogers being a Hydra agent, but, like, what Jean did and what they did to Dr. Light and stuff. Like, that is a real, like, when I read that, I was just like, holy cow.
And I don't know what it, you know, they haven't played it up very much, but in the new DC universe over at Secret Six that Gail Simone's writing, they have brought back Elongated Man and Sue Dibney.
Yeah.
They're alive again, and they're on their classic form again. So they had Elongated Man as a different character for a while. He had a different appearance. And eventually it was a reveal that it was Ralph Dibney, and then it didn't go over well. But Gail Simone has restored that couple back to the way we want them remembered. So they're back in the DC universe as well, thus canceling out Identity Crisis.
Which is another example of maybe maybe this is actually sort of retconning that one out too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's really kind of interesting.
Again, you can also put that into the topic of DC love stories.
Mm-hmm.
Sue and Ralph, right?
Like, exactly. You know, and the fact that, you know, Gail Simone's brought that back together. Secret Six ended this week. The final issue came out this week. And that was kind of a really cool little series that a lot of people didn't read. It had a really bad misstart. But what was interesting is Gail Simone has created all these wonderful characters and has sort of made all these characters her own. And that was really kind of a book for her to be able to bring after, especially after, what was that event that was
Convergence?
Convergence, yeah. It was a chance for Gail to bring back all her characters back after Convergence that were basically wiped out by the new 52. And she brought back characters like Catman, Scandal Savage, her version of the Ragman, her version of the Ventriloquist, Black Alice. Kind of, she could play in her world, the world that she created.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the characters that were sort of like the crapshoot characters were Elongated Man and Sue, which she had never written before. So to throw them into the, it was a cute little series that didn't really, I don't think, get the attention it should have got. But I'm hoping Black Alice will be back soon. She's one of my favorites. And I wish that Gail would have had a chance to bring back Lady Blackhawk, which hasn't shown up anywhere since New 52, and Misfit, which was a character from her Birds of Prey run. Which did show up, I think in her final issue of Batgirl, she had a one-panel appearance, meaning she's running around somewhere.
So now, did we want to talk about the big reveal at the end?
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Because, I mean...
Maybe we should leave that one.
Well, I mean, it's been spoiled all over Facebook.
Yeah,
too.
And you know
what
makes...
In fact, I knew it had happened before I even got to the comic.
And you know what makes
store.
Me so happy is that Beyond Watchmen Captain Metropolis series has gone up in price.
Is that one you didn't sell?
Oh, I have all those.
Yeah.
I have the entire series. Oh, and I almost did sell them at my dollar sale. So glad I kept those.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the fact that they have now moved the Watchmen into the DC Universe proper, and it was Captain Metropolis that basically they're blaming, instead of blaming the New 52 on Dan Didio and Jim Lee like the rest of us, they're blaming it on Captain Metropolis? Like, what the hell? It's kind of cool, really.
It is, like, because, I mean, he is a super powerful being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've seen, you know, in The Watchmen, you see how powerful he is.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, he wrecked comics for a long time for us.
And
thanks,
the
Captain Metropolis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not everybody.
What did you think of the death of Pandora? Symbolic.
Yeah.
That's the way I looked at it. It meant nothing, and it was just so symbolic. It was like Pandora screwed it all up on us. So, you know, she was the original blame.
Yeah.
So they killed her.
I probably just glazed over that part.
Good riddance. That's what I have to say. And what do you think of the new status quo with Superman? That's a really interesting turning event.
What exactly do you mean? Because I'm not up on Superman.
Well, what's interesting, so basically the way they explained it is they brought the New 52 Superman, the pre-New 52 Superman, into the New 52.
Yeah.
Right, where he's been living in, like, Arkansas or Wyoming or somewhere on a farm.
The bearded Superman.
The bearded Superman. And now they have killed off the New 52 Superman, which no one will ever miss. Hipster Jersey Shore Superman, who's a blogger. And, yeah, we are never going to miss him. And now that Superman, who's married to Lois Lane and has a son, Superman's a father now. And we can all accept that. The Lois and Clark series that introduced his son, and I can't remember the name of his son. Is it
John? Was that
John? It is John. Yes. I mean, it was so well written, and it was this really cool way for us to accept that Superman is now a dad. And of course, John's getting his own book with Damian, which I probably won't read. I'm really not interested in that one, but I'm really excited to see what they do. Like, I mean, the fact the original Superman's back with the original numbering, that's pretty sweet.
And I believe being written by Dan Jurgens.
Right. And Dan Jurgens wrote some of the best Superman stories of my, you know, when I was a teenager. So
now to backtrack a little bit
to
Wally West.
Yeah. Okay.
And so because the comic book is him struggling to escape the Speed Force,
mm-hmm.
and he needs somebody to tether him to this reality so he can escape.
That's right.
And he thinks it's going to be
Linda.
Linda, the love of his life.
Linda Park, right.
The love of his life. And she almost does it. But who actually does it?
Oh, my God. That was the best.
Barry Allen. Yeah, Barry Allen remembers him. Because that's what he needs, is to be remembered so he can be pulled out of the Speed Force.
And think about how cool that is.
That was a fist-pumping moment. They're like, yes.
Yes, and think about how cool that was, where it was like Barry Allen was the guy who mucked up the DC Universe with Flashpoint.
Yeah.
And now he's the one that recreates everything by remembering Wally West. I mean,
it's a perfect circle there.
However, they're still getting their cake and eating it, too, with the other Kid Flash.
Yeah.
That was really lame.
Well, I mean, because I'm not up on...
No, neither am I.
That was another Wally West.
I don't care about that Wally West.
Wally West's cousin named Wally West. And, you know, it's fine, because I don't think anybody will be upset if he still exists, right, as long as... Wally West exists.
Here's, you want some really, really wacky, some really, really, really wacky
trivia?
DC trivia?
Sure. Okay.
In Green Lantern, Green Arrow number 200, I think it was just Green Lantern 200, but Green Arrow was still in it.
Yeah.
Which was in the 70s. They reintroduced a legacy character named Airwave. There was a fifth tier Golden Age character called Airwave.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, we're going to bring back Airwave. And we're going to, he's going to work with radio frequencies and be on roller skates. And they brought him into the DC Universe in the 70s, I think. And I think his first appearance was, I don't know if it was number 100 or number 200. I think it was number 200, Green Lantern 200. And they explained that Airwave was now Hal Jordan's cousin.
Okay.
But guess what his secret identity was?
Wally West.
Hal Jordan.
Hal Jordan.
Yeah, and there was actually two Hal Jordans that were cousins.
So there's precedent.
Yes, yes. In
this. So it's even more of Geoff Johns. This is the kind of stuff that Geoff Johns does great, when he just digs into something old and goes like, yeah, I'll use that aspect that nobody's thought of for 25 years.
Yeah, or actually even later.
Yeah.
Like that had to be like 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, like I was born in 75, so it was probably around the same time. It's been done, which is kind of cool. It was lame at the time, too. But
yeah, I
know I have that issue kicking around my place somewhere.
I really loved, I got into comics later than all the rest of you guys.
Yeah,
I've only been into them for about 5 years. And so I got into them right as Barry Allen was coming back.
Okay.
And I was excited for this because I hadn't been a Flash fan. I didn't know anything about it. So You know, and Green Lantern and Barry Allen had this great relationship coming out of the Flash Rebirth, mm-hmm, right? Because Geoff Johns was writing both of those comics and making them both like...
And that's the way it was in the 70s and the 80s.
And so I don't have sort of like this love for Wally West the same as you guys do.
Well, see, that's interesting, Dan. Is the fact that when I started collecting comics in 83, Barry Allen was the Flash.
Yeah.
And I remember really liking the Flash. And to me, Barry's always been my Flash.
Yeah.
When Wally took over as the Flash, I was pretty young. And I remember buying the first issue. I was definitely in elementary school. But I didn't read very much of it. Yeah. I read more Barry Allen than Wally West. So Wally's really Marty's Flash. I'm still kind of I was a Barry Allen guy, but I accepted Wally. Unlike Kyle Radner or Rayner or whatever his name was. That was just, and then even worse, Connor Hawk. You know, no, we didn't accept those guys.
No.
But you were saying, I interrupted him, I'm sorry.
I know, because like Marty doesn't really like how Barry has been portrayed recently. And I haven't read that to know if that's like, you know, if there's merit to it. And I'm sure there's some merit to it. But even without this history of loving Wally West, even with this history of just being like, I would say I like The Flash, but I'm not invested in the history. But seeing Barry pull Wally out of the Speed Force
was just wonderful.
It was like a goosebumps moment.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've read a Flash comic since Flash Rebirth.
Yeah.
I think that's the last Flash comic I've actually ever even sat down and read.
I read The Flash once up to Flashpoint. But then that's where I left off.
Yeah, I didn't read any of those. And I didn't even read Flashpoint. I kind of... Oh, my God. Do you know who I'm excited about coming back? Is the new Supergirl book.
Yeah.
Because I'm a huge Supergirl fan. I've always loved Supergirl. And the Supergirl book they were writing right before the New 52 was probably one of my favorite Supergirl series. And then New 52 just made her cold and alien. And she had that weird red... patch thing and it was just she was just cold and alien, and it wasn't the Supergirl I always loved. And now of course they're going to be, you know, making it more like the TV show, and that Supergirl that warms my heart is probably on her way back.
Because if you remember, I could probably play a clip from a show 2 months ago we did, or 3 months ago, when this was first announced, and we were all skeptical, but then we watched the video, and I watched the video for the second time. I watched it once before I came on air, and then we listened to it on air, and like Geoff Johns talking about what was wrong with comic books and what they wanted to do, and that really sold us on this idea. And this comic book is
it delivered
the perfect but package there.
I said this last week, so I don't want to get into it in a big way, okay? But I thought about it a lot again, and by stuff I know, by insider information, which I cannot tell on air, is one thing I know about Dan Didio, and I've met Dan, and I like Dan. Dan is a guy who loves comics. Dan is as much of a fanboy as the rest of us.
Yeah.
And he's one of those guys that just goes, what if, oh my God, we could do this. We could do this, and it would be so cool. Mm-hmm. What if we did this? How cool would that be? He comes up with very big, like company-changing
like
ideas.
Big twists. And...
But he's not a guy, and I know this by, as I said, by insider information, he's not a guy who follows through that idea to the end.
Yeah.
He basically says, oh my God, we're going to do this. Puts that in motion without an exit plan.
Yeah.
And this New 52, I think, is one of the biggest examples of Dan doing that again and not having that exit plan. And I do know this isn't the first time Dan's done this, where he's had to go to someone else to go, okay, that was a mess.
Yeah.
Fix it. And that's what he's done with Geoff Johns. He's like, okay, we screwed up. We really, really, let's face it. The New 52 was Dan and Jim Lee.
Yeah.
100%. And, you know, and as I said, like, I think Dan's just this big geek who just comes up with these awesome ideas. But because he's the man with the power.
Yeah.
You know, he can make it all happen. Where we, you know, we could just sit there going, oh, my God, wouldn't it be so great if we killed Batman? I mean, just really killed Batman. How great would that be? Oh, my God, that'd be great. Let's Dan can actually kill Batman.
Yeah.
You know, without, yeah.
And then have to get Grant Morrison to bring him back. Or
right. Exactly. Right. Like, and I think the beef, I think the new 52, and I think in retrospect, now that we're at the end, you know, we've come out on the other side, we can all agree it was one of the biggest, dumbest ideas that DC ever came up with that nearly destroyed the DC universe. Or as Marty would say, or did it? Was it a brilliant marketing ploy? I don't know.
I mean, I have mixed feelings on the new 52. I'm not as negative as you might be on it.
But maybe it's because I've played in the DC universe since 1983.
Then, yeah, I've been around since a year before the new 52. So, you know, it kind of just happened and I rolled with it, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
But I do like that Geoff Johns kind of said in his video, like, we know these characters are vastly different from what you are used to, and we want to bring them back to the characters you used to know and love, mm-hmm. which is exactly what this sort of rebirth special has started.
Yes, definitely.
And
what a wonderful book. It was, you know, you called it the warm hug.
Yes, a warm hug.
Which is such a great analogy. Another one is a love letter, not even a love letter, an apology letter to the DC fans. That's what it is.
And it's so funny that the day that DC puts out this thing that is like a reassurance that, hey, everything is going to be okay. We're going to do something about what you didn't like. And then Marvel does the exact opposite and just tries to make some controversial move.
Yeah, well, you know? that's the Coke and Pepsi battle.
I saw something posted on Facebook, but I didn't even bother to click on it, about another relaunch or something from Marvel.
I have not heard about this.
Or game-changing things happening after
Civil War
or whatever.
No, I read the first issue of Civil War the other night, and I had no interest in it. And when I read the first issue, it was really well written, actually. I thought it was pretty cool. So we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, they're always saying there's going to be a big game change at the end of an event, and there never is.
Unless the big game changer is that the event
Flashpoint.
Is 8 months late. Vanishing,
that could be it.
All the other titles have had to start already.
I want to change topics completely. One thing that I was really excited about that I saw this week on the internet, and is Titan. Is it Titan Press that does the Doctor Who comics?
Yeah.
They're doing... I have been, from the moment Titan Press started doing Doctor Who books, my thing, and this is, you know, was, why do we need a Matt Smith comic? Why do we need a Peter Capaldi comic? Why do we need... the other guy who I really, really like, David Tennant comic. Why do we need these comics? I want a John Pertwee comic. I have been saying that. I want a John Pertwee comic. That is what I want. I've always said John Pertwee and Peter Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
Then they did the Tom Baker one. I was like, of course they're going to do Tom Baker.
At least it was a classic Doctor, though.
Yes. But it was revealed this week that they are releasing, is it a 4-part or a 6-part John Pertwee series?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't see the details.
Oh, my God. It was like, thank you, Titan Comics, for listening to me.
And now listen to me, Patrick Troughton.
Ah.
I want Patrick Troughton.
There's a new Patrick Troughton DVD coming out, or has it already came out?
It came out.
I don't have it yet.
This past week.
Okay. Have you watched it yet?
Underwater Menace. I've watched 2 episodes from it.
Cool.
Because I live a busy life. It just came out on Tuesday.
Okay.
And so this one has, as of right now, had the last remaining unreleased episode.
Okay.
Episode number 2 was found about 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and had never been released on DVD.
Okay.
And so they released that with episode 3, which also exists, and then just...
Did they animate the other 2?
No, they cheaped out on it and even admitted that they kind of cheaped out on it. They're just like putting it out as a no-frills release with just the stills and the narrative. Yeah,
I hate when they do that.
So it made a lot of fans mad when it was released a few months ago overseas.
Okay,
and just came out this week.
All right, do you have any at the store?
Yes, we do.
I gotta go get one of those. Okay, cool. All right, but anyways, back on point.
Anyways,
I really hope this is a chance, though. Like, if the John Pertwee book is bought, hopefully they'll do Patrick Troughton. Or I really want a Peter Davidson, because Pertwee and Davidson are my 2 favorites, right?
You know what I don't understand is
Colin Baker.
A
lot of people don't understand.
Let's do a Colin Baker.
Let's do a Colin
because he has the most room to grow.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you just have a very limited amount of TV episodes. Mm-hmm. And also just a very fixed opinion of him being an arrogant, dislikable vomit of color.
Thanks, John Nathan Turner.
But what I don't get is when you have a comic book,
yeah.
like they've been doing the Doctor Who comics for a while now.
Yeah.
Why can't we just have like all kinds of multiple Doctor stories? It's comic books. You can do that.
You know what? They were doing that. They did do that in... I remember collecting Doctor Who magazine for a while back in the 90s when Doctor Who was no longer on the air. And that's what they were doing in Doctor Who magazine. Like they were doing, like they would have a William Hartnell storyline and then they would flip over and do like a Sylvester McCoy story. And then they'd flip over and do a Peter Davidson five-parter.
But like, what about having William Hartnell and Sylvester McCoy together?
Oh my God. How like, epic would that be?
It's a comic book. All you have to do is draw them together.
Right.
Right.
Or like William Hartnell and Peter Capaldi.
I think that would be
such a great story.
But they would get along too well.
Oh,
I think Sylvester McCoy, being so like comedic, would actually be great with Hartnell. Because Hartnell's the stiff old man, right?
But who would you... Or like Colin Baker and David Tennant?
Colin Baker and anybody. Colin Baker and the War Doctor take on the Daleks. But, you know, like
but
I just...
But that's a great point, you know... And or
because there's no contracts, there's no actors who are no longer with us.
But you know
us.
How they had books like DC Comics Presents and Brave and the Bold and Marvel Team Up? Like they could have Doctor Who Team Up.
Yeah.
Right? Or where they could do something like really crazy where it's like, you know, like a Rose Tyler and Ian Chesterton team up.
Yes. Or like Rose and a Dalek team up.
Right. Or
Titan
or,
Comics, I will write this. You just find me.
Or even like something like even more insane, like Ben and Polly show up with Mickey.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, there's...
I think they'd get along.
Yeah, they probably... Well, Ben and Polly would get along with anybody. They were likable characters that we don't have very much existence of. But
yeah.
Ben and Polly, I've always had a sweet spot for them. Why don't they just do a Ben and Polly miniseries? I mean, really, how much do we know about Ben and Polly?
Very little.
Most Doctor Who fans don't even know who they are.
Nope.
You know, and I bet you they would do they would do like an Amy and Rory miniseries in a heartbeat. Yeah.
They're the original Amy and Rory, except they didn't get married and they didn't father River Song.
Well, you know what? You know what's funny though is that a lot of fans really do believe, like I've read a lot of fan fiction and stuff where Ben and Polly did end up together.
And it would make sense.
Yeah.
If you've seen any of them.
Yeah. And also, I think there was a book called, there was a book I read one time where they really, you know, had them flirting and whatever. Like, there was something kind of cute about Ben and Polly as a couple. They really were the original Amy and Rory.
And I mean, because they're not in a whole lot of existing episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Underwater Menace, I think the moon base, maybe one more story. From that era.
Yeah, I don't know. Not too many, but I've always had a soft spot for them. I actually met Annika Wells, who played Polly.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was really great. Anyways, we're not even talking about comics anymore. We're talking about Doctor Who.
Well, we're talking about Doctor Who and comics that they should have me writing.
They should do. Yeah,
yes.
Definitely.
I love that Brave and the Bold idea. That's a great idea.
I mean, isn't that a great idea?
Yeah.
So I'm really... So but I'm
cancel the third Doctor release. And let's do Brave and the Bold.
No,
that's not what I said.
I'm so excited about the new. I can't wait for the and that will be the first Doctor Who book I've bought from Titan.
Yeah,
they were at a different. Were they at Dynamite for a while?
IDW
because I have a lot of the IDW Doctor Who comics. Although I may have sold them all. I did at one point. But I think it'd be really cool to do something like that. So I like the fact that they're expanding and they're getting into more classic Who.
And I feel like as Doctor Who continues to become like more and more popular worldwide, like a lot of the classic stuff is getting viewed by people who had no idea it existed.
Yeah.
And so it's cool that they're, because now there's going to be some comic book fan who maybe never knew about John Pertwee. And we'll pick that up and go, oh, I haven't seen this Doctor. He'll read it. And maybe he'll go by Carnival of Monsters or something, you know.
Great series with the Drashig, which was just like a sock puppet with some plastic on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great.
So we're almost out of time, Sam. Take a couple minutes and talk about that comic strip you love?
Luann. Yes, I would like to talk about Luann because Marty's not here. So this is a brand new feature on Hey Kids Comics, which is the Luann weekly Luann update. This week in Luann, we've actually been following Luann's friend Bernice. And Bernice is in love with a guy named Pyro. Pyro, I believe his name is Pyro. Pyro. He's this kind of like emo hipster at the college that her and Luann are going with. And she's been trying to basically seduce him or fall in love with him for quite a while now. Now, Bernice, if you get to know Bernice, she's kind of like a little klutzy, little nerdy, not so cool with boys. So she has this new plan to get under Pyro's skin. She learned that Pyro is a fan of silent films. So she is going to do a silent film night at the Commons Room. But Luann and Bernice's Daffy friend, who I can't remember her name, is also going to have a film night on the same night, which is she is showing Barbarella. The plan is that everyone will go see Barbarella and not the silent movie release, which we found out today is actually going to be Nosferatu, and that Bernice will be alone with Pyro. What will happen next week? It's really exciting. If you want to read it, it's at Go Comics, Luann by Greg Evans. That's the Luann update.
All right, that took a lot less time than I expected.
Well, that's all it's good. I mean, okay. it's three
well,
panels.
Well, how did you get into this thing?
I didn't have any...
I didn't know that you were literally just going to tell us what happened.
For a week.
I thought you were going to talk about, like, the actual...
No, I'm just going to sum up 5 days worth of Luann comics every week.
All right.
It's almost like I'm reading Luann for the world. Because no one needs
you,
to...
You might be the only one?
No. I mean, Luann's been around for 30 years, but I just recently started reading it. I didn't buy comics for a while, and I read Dick Tracy every day at Go Comics.
Yeah.
And then they show some comics on the bottom, like, maybe you'd like to read these comics. And I never click on them. I'm like, no, I just want to read Dick Tracy. But one day I saw Luann, and I was like, hey, that's a thing. I've heard of Luann. What's Luann about? I don't know what Luann's about. I should look what Luann is about. I started reading Luann every day, and it was like, and I went all the way back to like 30 years ago, and it originally started, she was a little girl, and like a little girl, and she was based on Greg Evans' real life daughter, and he's just kind of made her grow up, and now she's in college, and she's making her kind of like for better or for worse, but a lot slower.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she's not growing up every year, and something about Luann and her world just sort of seduced me and brought me in. I think it's really funny. It's really hip. It's good humor. It's not cutting edge like some strips, but I just really love it. And when I wasn't able to buy comics for a while, it was just that thing that I read every day to make me happy. And as I revealed on the show last week, I actually found Greg Evans' phone number. I was looking for a way to contact Greg Evans. I just wanted to write him an email to thank him for Luann. I couldn't find an email, but by my research, I was able to find like the city he lived in, and then I found his address, and then I found his phone number. And I'm kind of like, do I just call him and thank him? Or what do I do?
Call him live on air.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? Maybe that's the thing, is we need to do more interviews. I have a few interviews where people have said they'll do the interviews, but I haven't had time to make it all happen.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to get an interview with Greg Evans and talk about Luann. Maybe that has to be a thing.
Maybe we can. Well, that looks like that's about all the time we've got for this.
All right, Dan. Well, you know what? This
episode.
This has been so fun catching up with you.
It's going to be you and me and a mystery guest next week.
Yeah.
The mystery is mystery to us still, too.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
We'll see. We've got a week to figure it out. But
this was fun, Dan. I've really missed you over the last couple of weeks, and it's been great just chilling with you here on this really hot, hot Peterborough night.
Yes, it's been extremely hot. So, yeah, you were. This is Hey Kids Comics being broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada. And we'll see you next week.
Hail Hydra.